everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Today is episode number 30, and it is for Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. I am your host, Roger Landry, and this show is co-hosted by a good friend of mine and a fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who we will bring in very shortly. But as usual, I've got to get through the boring opening first. There are certain things that we must say on each show to set the stage, so to speak, for what we're about to expose you to. The title of today's show is, listen closely, Fueling Inflation with Fuel. I will repeat that. Fueling inflation with fuel. No, not a misspeak, an absolutely intended sentence. All right, here we go. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these concepts. And no, as I say every single week, and I'll continue to say every week, this is not a pleasant way to introduce a show. Today's reality is blatant, and it's not very pleasant in any aspect. Thus, the reason for Eagle's Eye Report in the first place. The show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake. This is where you hear it. You also hear it on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. And these are live shows, and these are all appreciated platforms. Any place we can go to get a word out, to educate, to make people aware, to make them a little bit more connected to the reality that they live in is very much appreciated by the Liberty Beacon Project. I also want to tell you that each and every one of these platforms has a donate button. I would also tell you that even if they don't, find an address and mail them something or ask them if they've got a PayPal account. The point here is these are the platforms that allow you to hear these things. So what I'm also going to ask you to do is not so much to make a weekly donation as to check the little box that says make this a monthly donation. Because if you do it on a weekly basis, you might do it this month, you might do it 3 months from now, you might do it 6 months from now. What's the total? What's the average total? I say it every week. It's even close to $120 a year. Then you go to their PayPal button or whatever, and you click the little box that says, make this a monthly donation, and you put $10 in there. You're not giving them any less, but what you are giving them is confidence and peace of mind that they have a budget they can count on each month to help make your experience and the information they can get to you more viable and better. So, again, doing donations, they appreciate the hell out of it. And so does the Liberty Beacon Project. That is what supports TLB Talk. Every penny that comes into TLB Talk, the new social media platform, the platform that sponsors this show, is via generous individuals who would like to have a social media platform where they can talk. We don't ask you to give $1,000. So we're not going to stop you if you do. We're not going to stop you if you want to give $1,200. But for us, doing $100 a month for a year fits a whole lot better because it tells us what we have. Steve, if I got that wrong, don't you think that that makes a lot of sense to give them the confidence they know what they can do to build and expand going forward?
Sure, absolutely. Everybody could use something that they can count every single month.
Yes, and to help them build a budget to help them help you. All right, let's get into the topic. Do I feel that's important enough to beat up every single week? I absolutely do. Again, a lot of these platforms, including the Liberty Beacon's new social media platform, TLB Talk, count on you keeping them up and running because as soon as we start to take corporate dollars, we start to take corporate orders. And we ain't going to do that. Okay, so Stephen, say hello to everybody. I brought you in, but I didn't ask you to say hello, so please say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Everything you hear, okay, on this show will be included in an article on Thursday, tomorrow, on thelibertybeacon.com. Look up in the main, by noon Central Time, look up in the main slide bar and or slideshow, and you will see a slide for, guess what? Yeah, the Eagle's Eye Report and it'll have the big eagle head on it. Click on it. You will be able to go to that article, not only and have this embedded show in case you wish to listen to it again from our site, but you will have a link to everything that we discussed today, as in, you're never going to hear me spew crap. The reason I can raise my voice and get away with it, the reason I can be that honest with you, is because I actually know what I'm saying and I'm willing to show you where I got it from. All right. Also, remember the TLB Talk is TLBTalk.com is the sponsor of this show, Eagle's Eye Report. All right. Let's get down to this. Fueling inflation with fuel. All right, most of you are, okay, that's a play on words. What does it really mean? Exactly what it says. It was a massive shock to this entire country the day Joe Bob first sat in the Oval Office. And for anybody of you who don't know, and I think you should all know by now, I don't call him Joe Biden, I call him Joe Bob. And that's about as most respectful as I can get. But he's a president, so I'm not going to sit here and literally beat him into the ground in a very vulgar fashion. Well, at least not yet. Okay, so here we go again. It was a massive shock to this entire country the day Joe Bob first sat in the Oval Office and shut off the oil spigot, or because he didn't really shut it off. He at least severely restricted its flow with promises to eventually cut it off totally, including natural gas and coal. Our gas prices almost immediately, remember back then, almost immediately skyrocketed to levels most of us were not ready to afford. It wasn't a matter of had we seen them before, we'd seen high gas prices. For those of us who lived through the oil crisis in the 70s, we've seen this stuff before. We know what happens. But this quickly, this high, bam, in your face. Why? Because he didn't turn the valve off slowly. He shut it off. Okay. So, what we're talking about is our gas prices skyrocketing to a point, as I said, most were not ready to afford. This in itself facilitated a serious spike in inflation. But the worst has yet to come. And now, guess what? It's come. Let me explain something to you first. Everybody is constantly being told in order to shift blame, and governments are very, very good at this. Political parties are very, very good at this, shifting the blame away from things they know they have absolutely done wrong, or they've done it whether we liked it or not, and they're afraid of the ramifications, so they wish to shift as much of the blame as possible. They're telling you inflation is due to a massive increase in government spending, of which both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of. In that case, in a lot of cases, not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, in that case, you share the blame between hundreds of people, hundreds more than you normally would have had to share it with. Again, we're shifting the blame. If I told you that excessive spending does, in fact, cause inflation, that would be absolutely true. But it doesn't, bam, happen overnight. You go and you propose a bill. It's going to spend a lot of money. I don't know, you know, the COVID, help bill that they did. Hey, I'm going to pay for your college degree bills that they did. All of these things originally were leaked to, or if it was a congressional bill, were put in front of Congress. They were discussed. They were debated. You saw it in the news for weeks. They finally passed it. Once they passed it, they had to appropriate the money. Once the money was appropriated, it had to be handed out. In other words, this takes time. Over $1 trillion, okay? Over $1 trillion from the COVID relief bill is still sitting there doing nothing. It hasn't been spent. Now, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Isn't it a fact that the pandemic is over? Isn't it a fact that even some of the Democrats, enough to give the Republicans a majority in the Senate, said, you're not going to extend this emergency too much longer, Mr. President. We won't put up with it. Okay. So now that money isn't needed. So now COVID-19 emergency is over, so now what are they going to do with that $1 trillion? I'm going to make everybody here a bet right now. We'll never see it back. It'll never get back to the Federal Reserve. Your grandchildren and your children will be paying that $1 trillion. And what is it going to be used for? Well, it's already been appropriated. It's already on the books. And the Dems have power until the first of the year. What are they going to do with it? They're going to take that money and spend it on everything and anything they can. All the people who help them stay in office or get in office, all the bribes, all the power purchasing they can do, because they know they're going to have to work within the deep state for a lot of what they may want after the first of the year. Yes, there may be a tied up in the Senate, but that's what they have a vice president for. There may be an advantage in the House, but at the same time, the House can control the budget. They can control the purse strings. They can deny you things simply by saying we're not going to fund it. But they don't carry the power the Senate does, and they don't have the ability to just snap their fingers and say, by executive order, I decree. So that money is going to be spent. That $1 trillion, we will never get it back. And that's a guarantee. But again, all of this has happened over time. It didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen in 2 days. It didn't happen in a week. It didn't happen in a month. It was lucky if it happened in 6 months. But if you shut off the oil spigot and all of a sudden you have oil refineries all across the country that realize that the amount of product they're going to be getting in to refine to sell at a profit to keep themselves profitable is going to be cut way the hell back, they must start making amends for that in their budget now. Now. So the price of gas goes up. The price at, you got a local garage, they have a 50 cent a gallon, I don't know, profit margin on gas? Not. There's a very slim margin on gas. They work on volume. Well, two things happen if the cost of gas goes way the hell up because of the refineries. You have to pass it on if almost immediately, if not sooner, in the local mom-and-pop gas stations.
Say, Roger.
Okay. Yes.
Gas stations don't make any profit off of the gas. They only make their profit off of the stuff inside the convenience store.
In the store. I know that. I used to work at a gas station. I used to be an assistant manager. And that's before I went into the military. I was 17 years old at the time. I totally agree with you, but there are stations out there that make 1, 2, 3 cents a gallon. They do. And it's the volume that gives them any money off of that at all. That might pay them enough to have the windows washed or something like that once a month. But yes, very good point, Stephen. That is the draw. That's to get people in. Okay. So what we're talking about is massive increases passed off, has to be passed off immediately. So what sparked the initial slam to the wall of inflation in this country? When they tell you it is massive government spending, not. It was Joe Bob turning the spigot off the day he sat in the Oval Office. He did that. He is responsible, and he's not personally responsible because the guy ain't got the brains he was born with. It is his string pullers, his puppet masters, that are immediately responsible for that through Joe. Joe's their face, their mouthpiece, and he's failing at that. But anyway, Joe was there to do these things, but they want to keep power, so they're not going to tell you it was what we did on the very first day we got into office that absolutely kicked inflation into overdrive, and eventually the massive spending we did caught up to that and boosted it. Get ready for the next boost, people. Get ready. Okay. Now, diesel fuel. Yes, Roger said diesel fuel. Although not considered by too many of us to be a real significance to the economy, is by far a much larger economy wrecking ball or an inflation exacerbator than gasoline could ever hope to be. A vast majority of the use of gasoline in this country is to drive your car. There's also diesel-powered cars out there. Okay? Let's go on. There is already a spike in the number of truck stops and fueling stops out of diesel. Okay? But for those who think this is basically a West Coast issue because that's what you've been hearing it, no. Because there's already videos popping up all over the place, even on YouTube, all across the internet, from the East Coast truckers waiting, and in some cases, a full day or more. This is camped outside, and some of them ran out of fuel about a half a mile from the fueling station where they could have parked their trucks. So for a day and a half, one guy makes a TikTok video, I think I saw, and he's literally sitting on the side of the road, can't quite make it, but you can see the fuel stop right across the street, damn near, less than a half a mile away. And they have been saying every time he walks up there, it looks like it'll be at least another half a day, maybe another day. So for a day and a half going on 2 days, these truckers waited to get fuel on the East Coast. We already know this is going on the West Coast. This isn't a joke. When you've got truckers sitting by the side of the road, do you really understand the ramifications of this? But let me go on, okay? There are many factors all coming together in the supply chain of diesel. And although you might not own a diesel car or a diesel truck, you are nonetheless going to feel the pain beyond anything anybody's told you yet. It might not necessarily be at the pump, meaning the gas pump, but prices will likely rise at just about every single other store or commercial business you do business with. That's because it is estimated that 95% of all goods travel at some point by boat, truck, or train powered by diesel. 95%! I'm going to say that again. 95% of every single thing you eat, buy, whatever, travel in, ship in, it doesn't matter. 95% out of 100%, meaning only 5% doesn't, spend some time on a vehicle that's powered by diesel. So would you agree with me if I told you that the biggest interruption to the supply chain could possibly be the lack of diesel? Imagine that. Estimated cost to the U.S. economy from spiking diesel prices. The price is going up right now just on word that this may happen very soon. The spiking diesel prices have already exceeded the cost of $100 billion to the U.S. economy. And that's just the beginning. Okay, this is important enough. Here we go again. Rewind. Estimated cost to the U.S. economy for spiking diesel prices already exceeds $100 billion, and that may just be the beginning. It used to be if something cost you and me $100 billion, we knew about it. Everybody was talking about it. But how many of you knew that? And there may be a few of you out there because intelligent people listen to this show. I already know that. I get feedback on what goes on in the chat. Stupid people don't have the type of chat you guys do. So, and I appreciate that. But we're talking about $100 billion it's already cost you. It is a sad state of affairs when $100 billion gets no mention. And if it doesn't have a trillion after it, nobody really pays attention. It's not the trillions that are killing you because they're done very few and far in between. It's the hundreds of billions that are slaughtering you because that happens all the time because nobody pays attention to it. So we now know that 95% of everything that gets sold anywhere travels in a vehicle that at one point is powered by diesel fuel at some portion of that trip. Everything, 95% of everything. We also know that the estimated cost to our economy has already exceeded $100 billion, and it just started to go up. It ain't nowhere near where it's going to be. And I'll get to that. Transportation fuel, okay, is the most common use for diesel, which powers most trains, most semi-trucks, and even some automobiles and perhaps personal pickup trucks, all using it in lieu of gasoline. A huge amount, listen to me, of ocean-going freighters, cargo-carrying ships, big ones, I mean really big ones. Okay, so now we know that diesel will have the biggest impact of just about any single commodity you can name right now. Diesel is often called, the dirty fuel. It's easier to refine because of, if you think about dirty fuel, it's not quite, you can't see through it like you can gasoline, okay? So it's easier to refine than gasoline is. It is most commonly used in large engines that require a lot of power for what they're pulling or pushing.
Hey, Roger.
And it's, yes.
Diesel fuel is actually the byproduct of the refinement from gasoline.
Yes. Yeah, it is. That's why it's so much cheaper. Because it's as a result of. Why do you keep bringing up smart things?
Can I bring up one more smart thing?
Sure.
Before the break? It was 2008. I started paying attention around 2001 or whatever, but it was actually 2008, the first time I had heard mainstream news talk about trillions. Until I got to, the last time I heard the word trillions was in Algebra 2. Algebra 1 and Algebra 2.
Isn't this something I just said?
Yeah.
But you're saying it in an eloquent fashion, and I appreciate that. I'm going to talk about 2008, so you kind of jumped the gun on me, but that just proves what I've been telling all of you people. Stephen is pretty smart. Okay. Diesel is often called a dirty fuel, and we've just explained that to you, okay? But it's mainly used in large engines, but it's what else it's used in that most people do not give it enough credit for. A large amount of power plants across the entire country run on diesel, okay? Which are the lifeblood and supply lines of power for just about anything we manufacture or buy. So what isn't covered by the diesel fuel is covered by the electricity that's produced by the diesel fuel. So there's the other 5%, people. Actually, it's almost 100% because just about everything you do requires power in some shape or form or electricity, with the vast majority of these being run by diesel. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's 100% of those plants. We know it's not, but it's more than 5%. So we've already got 95%. Let's tack that 5% on. 100% of your life gets worse if there's a diesel fuel problem. Not 95%, 100%. Okay. The trucking industry is under constant pressure from multiple fronts. News continues to ramp up about a looming diesel shortage in the U.S., and supplies have reached their lowest level since 2008, sparking panic and debate about when we could run out of diesel altogether. I don't believe that's an inevitability, but the low supplies will wreak havoc at levels you can't imagine. If on the East Coast and the West Coast, we already have truckers spending hours to days waiting for a fuel station to get more fuel. Not a joke. And it's not so much that they don't really have it because, yes, we've got the lowest level, but there's still a 25-day supply. Okay? It's not so much that we don't have the fuel. It's they've already shut down a few diesel fuel processing plants, a few fuel processing plants, which means a lot of this stuff has to come from somewhere else. If you've got less of it and you're moving where it's coming from to another point, and they're not all a city block apart, what you start to have is a supply chain. Oops. And now you've got less of it to get out. Oops. And if they know they've only got 25 days, then two things are going to happen. One, they're going to stretch it out as much as they can until they can start to see those reserves increasing. And two, all of this is going to cost them money. So the price goes through the ceiling again. I don't believe we're going to run out of diesel. The United States has the largest oil reserves untapped on the planet. Anybody who tells you anything else is an idiot. Underneath the Rockies, in the southern Rockies on the eastern side, there is estimated to be up to three, listen to me, you're going to hear this word again, trillion barrels of oil. Some of it's locked up as shale oil, but it's retrievable. We have 3 trillion barrels of untapped oil in the United States, but we're begging Saudi Arabia and doing deals with China. Are you freaking kidding me? Why? Because Joe Bob's people want us to appear virtuous. Okay, we're not drilling for oil in our country. We're getting it from other countries. Well, we are doing some drilling. There are certain things that have to be supported, and we will continue to for a while, but it keeps dropping off further and further. Okay. Now, another alarming fact is that diesel is also widely used as heating fuel. It doesn't just deliver your product. It doesn't just bring stuff to the factory to produce stuff. It doesn't just give you your electricity. It keeps you from freezing in the winter. Again, another alarming fact is that diesel is also widely used as heating fuel, mostly along the eastern seaboard, but a vast majority of the country's population, believe it or not, lives in the eastern part of the United States. Not the western part. You guys have less than 30% of the total population of this country west of the Mississippi. East of the Mississippi, 70% or more. And a lot of them get their heat from oil, and a lot of them live in the coldest parts of this country, just shy of Alaska. Okay. So, a lot of this is also warming homes and businesses in a variety of other regions worldwide. There are some areas of the world where that is the only mechanism for their heating plants, or they're heating their homes. Should a cold winter be in store, and we are told to expect one, things could get very ugly in many areas of the country and indeed the world. They're already expecting a record number of freezing to deaths in northern European Union, already expecting it. And in the United States, you will see people getting emergency help in the wintertime. But look, you have to hope that somebody's got the diesel fuel to bring it to you, don't you? No matter what it costs. All right, Steve, we're ready to roll into a break because everybody who thinks that I'm just about through this, I'm just warming up.
Yes, sir. I wanted to add, I put it in the chat room, but the original 13 colonial states has the 70% that you're talking about.
Yes.
Population.
Well, no, it has about 67%, but there's an argument over that because there are some states like Ohio, Michigan, and a few others that do have quite a large population. So I would say your fact was when you and I were younger. Today, I would say it's probably 60% along the coast of that 70%, 60% of that along the coast and the states along the coast, and probably at least 40% in the rest of the states leading up to the Mississippi River.
Yep. Well, Ohio was one of those original colonial states, though, but we'll be back in a minute.
Not really. It wasn't one of the 13 original colonies. I graduated from high school in Ohio. I know that.
We'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, so I think everybody's catching the drift here. the drift is, if you want to say things and you want to say them in a fashion that you'll be allowed to say, boy, did you ever think living in America that someone would make a comment like that and everybody would shake their head going, yep, I know exactly what he's talking about. Anyway, TLB Talk. Go there. And if you like the platform, I don't know, give us $5 a month, reoccurring. Give us $2 a month, reoccurring. Thing of it is, we get enough people in, $4 to $5 a month covers a lot of ground for us. And all of these radio stations that are supporting this show today. So what have we talked about? We talked about the fact that diesel affects more of most people's lives than they could even have a clue. Whether it's keeping your house warm, whether it's supplying the electricity to your house, whether it's driving your vehicle, whether it's controlling the cost of anything you buy or sell, anything, okay? And I could go on. This is by far going to have the biggest impact of any single physical commodity out there. All right. Now, another major issue is the trucking industry is still in desperate need of drivers ever since the completion of the COVID drills, the scamdemic, the plandemic, whatever you want to call it. Just don't ask me to call it a pandemic. But since the completion of that, or enough of it that they realized they had to start some of the supply chain going again, or there would be an uprising in this country. Basically, that's about true. I'm not joking. Okay? But the trucking industry today is still in desperate need of drivers. Okay? The ATA, or the American Truckers Association, most recent October report on truck driver shortages places the projections at, listen to me, 78,000 short of all the drivers they would need for the complete supply chain. There are a lot of cities in America, a lot of them, that don't have 78,000 people in them. We are shy 78,000 drivers. Now, granted, some of those might be in factories. Some of them might be in mines where they have a lot of drivers who just drive around dirt pits. But truck drivers in general, the ATA projects that they are shy 78,000 drivers. That's the second highest level on record. The highest level on record was 81,250. And that was in 2021. Oh, gee, go figure. Right at the height of the lockdowns. So we've gone from 81,250 down to 78,000. But if anybody tells me, oh, that's a good thing, if I tell you we're 78,000 drivers short and you say that's a good thing, okay, make sure you got your bib on. You're probably drooling too. This isn't good. This isn't even close to good. The American Truckers Association contends there is no single cause of the driver shortage. But some of the primary factors include high average age of current drivers, which leads to a high number of retirements. They're saying with everything going on right now, I've got enough to retire. I'm going to retire. And a lot of them are. All right. Women make up just 8% of all drivers, well below their representation in the total workforce of 47%. So there's only 8% of the females out there who feel they would want to get behind the wheel of a big rig. Okay, I'm not putting blame here at all. I'm simply giving you statistics. They represent 47% of the workforce, but only 8% of all drivers. How about the inability of some would-be and current drivers to pass drug tests? After the lockdowns, that's an issue. Other barriers to entry, such as minimum driving age, driving history, and criminal background, are already keeping a lot of drivers out. Lifestyle disadvantages, especially in the long-haul market, with greater time away from home. And also, how about infrastructure and other issues like a lack of truck parking spots, which causes drivers to stop driving earlier than they need to so they're sure they can find a spot for the night, and congestion, which limits drivers' ability to safely and effectively make deliveries. Now, why did I throw the stats in on truckers? I just got done telling you that one of the biggest issues we're going to face is the lack of diesel fuel. Well, the lack of diesel fuel being such a huge issue, more than anything else I mentioned, is these trucks. Will they get what you need to you? Whether it's food, whether it's, I don't know, sewing needles, I don't care what. Anything and everything, 95% of everything. Can they get it to you? Well, if they don't have the fuel, they can't. But what may be some of the other issues that are, as of late, exacerbated to the point where they may also be a hindrance and may be tagging down that supply chain? Making matters even worse, a threatened workers' strike deadline of December 5th from the railroad unions wanting improved health care and other compensation-type demands. I'm not telling you, I never would, unless it was absolutely ridiculous, that the rail workers aren't worth what they're asking for. What I am telling you is that apparently the big wigs and, the liberals that own these companies really don't want to give it. But the unions are basically saying, because, hey, wait a minute, didn't we have Joe Bob stepping up and telling the whole world that he had avoided this, that due to his massively, phenomenal negotiating skills, we had avoided a railroad strike? Again, how many times have you heard anything from or about or whatever this guy has supposedly said, which turns out not to be the exact opposite, but something that smacks you upside the head again? He told us his negotiating skills had avoided a railroad strike, except one after another, the unions are saying, we're not putting up with that. We ain't agreeing to that. That isn't what we wanted. This is Joe Bob, okay? All right, so I want to take that just a little bit further, all right? Railroads haul, here we go again, 40% of the nation's goods each year. They don't have the coverage of the amount of trips that trucks make, but I would probably beg to tell you they cover much more distance, which and carry a hell of a lot more. So railroads haul about 40% of the nation's goods each year. That means for every day the workers strike, trains wouldn't run and the country would lose, listen to me, people, $2 billion a day. Roger, why are you making such a big deal out of that? You said it was trillions that was the issue, or hundreds of billions, not billions. Billions is small change today. Okay. $2 $1 billion per day. Let's say the strike goes on for a year. And if they're looking for blood, that's not impossible, especially if that's what the global elites actually want to see. What's 365 times 2? Well, 350 times 2, if you stop and consider, is 700. So you're looking at about $750 billion the economy loses. Not a joke. $60 billion every single month. Yeah. And it could also cause major delays in things like holiday deliveries. That bike you ordered for your son or your daughter, you may not get it. Why? The trains ain't running. Not a joke. And now, as I told you last week on this show, Joe Bob and his team want to cut back on the faux, meaning the absolute lie, global climate change by using a tool to facilitate or change the climate. Whoa, 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 whoa. They want to fight climate change by changing the climate. They want to fight climate change by using geoengineering to dim the sun. They want to dim the sun by spraying large amounts of nanosized or aerosolized aluminum into the upper atmosphere to reflect sunlight and cool the earth. For something that most scientists, and go to the Liberty Beacon, there are three or four lately from world-renowned scientists that saying climate change is a stack of crap. It's a political scam. Okay, so they're going to spray a lot of stuff into the upper atmosphere to block the sun. Oh, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't make it up. He wants to dim the sun using geoengineering, which will reduce the efficiency of the solar panels by as much as 40 to 50% that you are being forced to use to heat your home in the winter because you can't have oil anymore. That's a no-no. So not only am I going to keep you from using the oil you were going to use, not only am I going to tell you you need to use solar to heating elements in your house to heat your house, not only am I going to tell you that, what else am I telling you now? I'm going to block 50% of the sun. What? This is all real, people. This is not a joke. I'm not trying to get laughs. It's not a comedy hour. Everything I just told you is true. Not only is the price of oil going to go through the ceiling if you can get it at all, but if you're forced to use solar, they're going to cut half the sunlight out each day by geoengineering your sky. Steve, if I got this wrong, is this so stupid it wouldn't even fit in a comedy skit?
This is beyond bizarro world.
I know. And now they're going to tell you they're geoengineering. Wait. Okay. And yes, I said some of this last week, but this bears repeating, especially for those who weren't here last week. You're going to tell me, okay, that you're going to geoengineer my sky in order to cool the planet. Okay. You're going to tell me that you're going to come to an agreement with scientists that prove that this is a viable mechanism before we do it. This is what they're saying. Okay. I want to know how many of you walk out your front door every day or every other day, look up in the sky and see a perfect checkerboard when you drop to your knees and thank God for giving you the most beautiful checkerboard clouds you've ever seen in your life. How many of you? Because you're listening to the wrong show. Please go away. You're stupid. We all know that's not what's happening. We all know they've been geoengineering for not 10 years, not 15 years, maybe 20 years or longer. How do we know this? The Liberty Beacon has been reporting on it for over 12 years. How do we know what they're spraying or why they're spraying? We actually put together a group 10 years ago and sent out letters and asked for information. What did we get back? Basically, it was telling us, this is what they were telling us, they were spraying, because we told them there was aluminum in it. You can actually test. Everything in the gravity well eventually falls to the ground. You can actually test what they're spraying up there. All you need to do is put out a very wide mouth bowl full of water. And after it's a couple of days of that stuck and a couple more days to let it fall, take it into a chemist and let them skim the water. An inordinately large amount of aluminum. So we asked, what is this? And what were we told? This is us spraying stuff high up into the atmosphere to block sunlight to keep the planet from continually warming. The aluminum is used because it is highly reflective. It is nanosized because it has an immensely long hang time, aerosolized. We knew this 12 years ago. They've been doing it how many years before that? But the White House just decided to tell you that they're going to look into the viability of this and they just may do it. What? How gullible are Americans? How gullible? Why are they shutting down diesel fuel processing plants? Why? I'm telling you what could be the biggest smack upside your head economically since they shut the spigot off or damn near shut it off. And now the diesel fuel thing, if you think that inflation is bad, you think the supply chain is bad, you think the lack of products in your store is bad, it ain't bad yet. It's going to get bad. The only way it's not going to get bad is if all of a sudden somebody steps up to the plate, and I'm talking about in the next couple of weeks, not after the first of the year, in the next couple of weeks, somebody needs to step up to the plate and say, we need to take care of this diesel fuel issue, and we need to do it now. Who do you think's going to do that? Even if you say, well, the Republicans would do that, they don't have any power until after the first of the year. Want to know if we wait till the first of the year to do anything about this, what's going to happen? Most of what I told you. Why is it every time I do a show, it's always something I absolutely hate and I never want to talk about, Steve? Why is it I hate doing these shows so much? When's the last time I gave some good news out, Steve?
I didn't know you did put out good news.
Yeah, that's my point exactly. And again, a brilliant comment from my co-host.
I'm laughing to keep from crying.
I know that. And me, I'm hollering to keep from crying.
Right.
Okay. So, what do we do in order to wake up to the fact that Joe Biden and his team are intentionally facilitating the destruction of America? Yeah, we're at that point in the show again. We've got to tie all this together.
But
I talk about vaccines.
But Roger, there's a ball game on. There has to be.
Okay. I talk about the economy. I talk about the destruction of America. I talk about the military. I talk about the destruction of America. I talk about the healthcare system. I talk about the destruction of America. I talk about the education system. I talk about the southern border. I'm talking about the destruction of America. Each and every show contains that aspect. Every show I do, and I'm sure most of you have noticed that, it's either me saying things like there's two things you need in order to form global governance. You need to knock down the size of the population and you need global economic collapse. What have we been talking about today? We're talking about another spike in inflation that will make the last one, the one everybody's complaining about right now. We will see inflation double in a month, two at the most. Why? Well, gee, what did Roger say today? Diesel fuel fuels the trucks to take 95% at some point in that trip of every product you will ever use where it needs to be for you to eventually get it. And I could go on and on and on. Stop and think about everything that's happening in this economy. Stop and think about any president who wouldn't consider that he's holding a gun to his head and he has to keep pulling the trigger. The only person who could survive a situation like this is somebody who knows for a fact that every election they need him for will be bought and paid for. End of story. It just happened again. No, that's another show probably next week. The guy sitting in the White House has absolutely nothing to fear. If that would have been Trump and his son's name was Hunter, this would have been over 2.5 years ago. And for all of you hoping that the Republicans do something when they take over, I'm hoping with you. Am I guaranteeing it to anybody? I'm way too smart to do that. But all of this, everything we're talking about, seems to be taking America to her knees. Another thing Roger says over and over again. That's how you collapse our economy. You take us to our knees. And it can't be from one issue, because it's from one issue. The people of this country know that we're smart enough, resilient enough, and we have enough resources to take care of any single issue. It would have to be a huge and catastrophic, something like a supervolcano blowing up in the middle of the country, or an asteroid about to smack the middle of the United States and take 90% of us out. This is what catastrophes would have to be to rival what you're seeing right now. Nothing is working in America today, people. Nothing. Your education system isn't working. Your healthcare system isn't working. Your military system isn't working. You want me to go on? I could go on. I could cover everything. It's not working. Have you ever, I don't care how old you are out there, ever seen America in this situation where nothing is working like it's supposed to? Except those who are willing to hurt America. That's working like it's supposed to. We are seeing so many disasters right now, but the one that really will come off in your face beyond what most of you are willing to admit. And I'm hoping that a lot of this doesn't happen. I'm hoping that the reserves are maintained. I'm hoping that additional pumping is required. I'm hoping a lot of things happen in the next couple of weeks. Because if they don't, you're going to see true inflation is not 8 or 7%. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's twice that. It's between 14 and 15%. And a lot of experts will tell you that. I'm also going to tell you, and this is not a joke, you're going to see at least a 10-point increase in inflation, 8 to 10 points. And I'm not even joking. I'm probably understating this. If we lose the supply, if the supply dwindles so fast that it severely cripples our economy, and I mean cripples massively, if that happens, you're going to see inflation go from about 15% to about 22 to 23%. How many of you have heard this before from me? During the Great Depression, which is the worst time economically this country supposedly has ever gone through, the inflation rate was 22 to 23%. Gee, what did I just say? 22 to 23%. That facilitated the absolute collapse of the entire U.S. economy, known as the Great Depression. I'm telling you that if this gets out of control, this mechanism alone, diesel fuel, has the ability to bring America to her knees. At which point you will have Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, and their buddies stick their hand out, look down at you, literally, look down at you, stick their hand out, and they will say, take my hand and let me help you up. It won't be as good as it used to be, but it'll be better than it is right now. And a vast majority of the remaining, yes, he said that, and anybody who listens to my shows know what I'm talking about. The remaining population will decide that anything is better than where they sit right then. And they will take that hand. And what you will have accomplished is a reduction in global population and a collapse of the global economy, the two things that would be required in order to bring in global governance. How many times do you people need to be told there are more catastrophes happening in America today than at any 20-year period in modern history combined? And this has happened in 2 years. So we're talking about the highest level of disasters, political, economic, military, health, it doesn't matter. The highest level of disasters in this country's recorded history in one-tenth of the normal time or less. Anybody out there listening to what I just said and can prove me wrong, please try. I'll make you look stupid. Anybody out there who understands what I just said and honestly believes that there is a political party or a president leading that political party that is so stupid as to believe that the utter destruction of America is in keeping with the Constitution and protecting we the people or working for we the people? What is going on in this country, including the diesel fuel issue? All of these issues are fixable. The border is fixable. Instead of hiring 87,000 IRS agents, you could probably, because these IRS agents are going to get a lot of money, you could probably hire at least 150,000 border agents and take care of the sovereignty and the health and the drug overdoses happening in this country on a daily basis. Everything we are facing today can be fixed, but it isn't. Why? Why do you look this right in the eyes? Why do you look this right in the face and figure out, well, this guy's to blame. Well, this guy's to blame. Well, this guy's to blame. While you're placing blame, America is doing what Roger has been saying every time you've listened to a show, ask Steve. Every show you've ever listened to, I have said exactly the same things. Everybody here needs to understand the United States is being intentionally destroyed. The only person who could work to accomplish this was one that was so compromised he could and would do nothing to stand against what his masters told him to do. We all know he's compromised. The laptop's actually coming to the surface again. All we are seeing is a massive destruction level like this country has never seen times 10, all happening in the shortest period of time any one of these disasters would have happened in, all combined. What's the result? Right now, what you're looking at is diesel fuel. Let's end it the way we started, okay? We're talking about diesel fuel, people. It's not like gold. It's not like silver. It's not like it's dirty. It's yucky. It's diesel fuel, except that everything in your life depends on it, and it's about to be done. We need to do something. We need to talk to our reps. We need to explain to them that we have the oil reserves. There's a big difference between the United States going into deep bankruptcy and a lot of the civilization here suffering immensely or increasing the drilling and putting a lot more freaking diesel fuel in the tanks. Again, this is a problem that can be fixed, people. The problem is it's not being fixed. Why? All right, Steve, come on in and tell me all the stupid things I said.
I don't know about stupid, but I was an over-the-road truck driver for 4 years, and I did a local route for 7 years, so I've got 11 out there on the road.
7-Eleven, got it.
Okay. 7-Eleven, yeah. Up until the last year I was able to work was 2003, and I don't know when it changed, but that was a time where diesel fuel was at least 10 cents cheaper than a gallon of gas.
Yes.
Back then, I'm talking gallon of gas was $1.25. Diesel was $1.15.
I can remember a gallon of gas being 19 cents a gallon.
Well, I don't
remember. I'm 68. You're not.
I don't remember that far back.
I know. You're not.
I'm talking about the early 2003, up until then. But I don't really know when it changed because that was the last year I worked. But now it's anywhere between $1 to $1.25 to $1.50 a gallon more.
And there really isn't. It's even higher than that in some places. Diesel fuel is over $6 a gallon on the West Coast.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. And on the East Coast, $4.95, $4.85, $5.02.
Yeah.
That's insane. All right, my friends. So other than that, did I say anything that was, I don't know, do you feel wasn't pertinent?
No, not at all.
Okay. Look, everybody, we thank you for listening. We appreciate your ears. Spread the word, please. And this will be on thelibertybeacon.com tomorrow. Thank you, Steve.
All right. Good night, everyone.